Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 913. Whoa. Our topic is Q&A, and the title is How Long Do I Follow a Program? Awesome, awesome question. So recently on our Instagram page, so if you don't follow the gym on Instagram, I would highly encourage that you do, because we post every single day and it's different kind of educational content compared to what we put in our podcasts. So it's a whole new kind of educational resource that is different, but I hope just as valuable as the podcast is. So we're under the name Brutal Iron Gym, so you just find us there. I have over 2,262 posts. Well, I guess not over that, exactly that. So we have 2,262 posts, including like we do the IGTV, which are kind of 15-minute or less videos, and we do a lot of kind of advanced training techniques and covering different questions. Like the most recent one we did was a corrective therapy on how to use a lacrosse ball to open up chest muscles if they're tight before workout. So that's some stuff you can check out. And recently we posted asking for requests for content information, whether it was a podcast, IGTV, or YouTube content, just looking for what people might want to learn more about. So we did get a couple responses on the Instagram page itself, but we actually got more emails. People like to ask questions kind of without necessarily having to give up who they are. And I understand that, because a lot of us have a fear of maybe asking a stupid question. There are no stupid questions. Well, actually, there are just, let's all be honest here, there are some stupid questions. For example, if you ask a question based on something that you could have already read, so I guess I'm getting off on a tangent there. It wasn't necessarily based on clients. I just laugh about life, where one of my friends I was talking with recently was a teacher, and they were saying how they could give out a project, and then the students ask a bunch of questions that are in the directions of the project, and she finds those to be stupid questions. But I encourage you, if you ever want to ask a question and you're afraid of what the perception might be of your question, a private email to brutalirongym@gmail.com is always a great idea. So thank you to those who send in those questions. And then also, we do work with a lot of trainers. So half of my clients are trainers. And some of the trainers, it's not a bad thing for a trainer to have a trainer or to have a coach. That shows that you understand the value of the service that you're trying to get other people to invest into. So if you show the value of a coach, then you're more likely to show that you wanting to be hired as a coach makes sense. Does that make sense? And then also, it just helps to get another set of eyes. So a lot of the coaches I work with, they're great coaches. They're great trainers. It just helps to where maybe if I'm further along in experience. So I've been a trainer now for 19 years. So, and I've owned Brutal Iron Gym for 10 years. So a lot of the people I do work with will not have the experience that I've had yet. They're going to get there, and they're going to get there faster than I did. So that's my goal. Try to be a resource for them so they can be better than I am. But then also, it helps. Just extra points of view, extra information, extra knowledge. And then we all need a little help with accountability, motivation, and just seeing the forest from the trees. So it helps to get some clarity on things. But long story here, to get to the point that people did respond, and one of the responses we got was the question of how long does it typically take to see measurable progress in size, strength, endurance? In other words, how long should I stick with a program before I know whether or not it's working? Freaking awesome question. I love this question. The person who wrote this question is one of my best friends, Paul. Thank you. And I actually do know what his training is, and I want to answer this in a more general way, so everybody can get information. And then I'm actually going to send him a private email giving more specifics to exactly how he trains. So it's kind of fun when you do know the person, you can give them also a little more private information other than just what's in the podcast. Now, what's in the podcast is certainly going to be still helpful for him going forth in the future. If he does make changes, how will he know if those changes were good or not? And then the what's in the podcast can be helpful for you. So thank you for listening in. Okay, we're going to take the goals in the order that he wrote them. So the first thing we look for is size. If my targeted goal in my program is to get bigger muscles, we are going to look at today is how do we measure progress like how long should it take, how should we measure it, and what are some examples. Now, what it takes to actually achieve these goals is going to have to be, you know, completely different podcast. But for example, muscle size, a lot of people are going to look at their training when actually it's your nutrition. Your nutrition is going to have a significant impact. You can have perfect training, but if your nutrition doesn't properly support your goal, you will not reach your goal. You will not achieve results. So you can train awesomely, but if you don't eat excessive calories at the right times, you will not have material to build new muscle with. So the nutrition has to be combined with training. So if you're looking at, like, okay, measuring progress and things, what do I change if I'm going to make a change? Don't only change your training. Make sure you look at your nutrition as well. Make sure that that is supported with what your targeted goal is. So size, generally, if you're going to say, okay, I want to be able to see a noticeable improvement, I would give it 8 to 12 weeks. Now, this is going to be very, very, very individual dependent. And it has a lot of, like, for example, if somebody's very lean, they will see results faster than somebody who has higher body fat percentage. And the reason why is if we're training to change muscles, we can just see the muscles better if there's not a layer of fat over them. So if somebody's leaner, they're going to see physical changes better. So for example, I get people ready for aesthetic competition. So I've helped people get pro cards in both tested and non-tested divisions. And what you'll often see when somebody diets for a competition is they'll say, oh man, it's almost like as you get going, the results come faster and faster and faster. So they'll say, like, the fastest results you get are the closer you get to the show. That's not entirely true. And the reason why it appears that way, there's multiple factors, but one of the factors as to why it appears that way is as you progress in a diet, you become leaner, therefore you can see the muscles, therefore you can see the changes happening faster. So the muscles are changing a lot when there's an inch of fat over top of them, but you just can't see it. Then whenever you get down to like a quarter of an inch, all of a sudden you can really start to see the details, the shapes. And then but from you go to a quarter inch to an eighth of an inch, you know, it's going to start to be more and more noticeable. So small things are noticeable whenever there's not big things in the way. Make sense? So as somebody gets leaner, it appears as if they're making faster changes. That's not entirely true. The changes were happening all the time. We just couldn't see them because of the fat. So 8 to 12 weeks is going to be a general range. Some people, can they see them faster? You betcha. When you get somebody ready for a competition, you can damn near see the changes in the last, like, say, 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how lean they are getting into the prep. But you can see changes weekly, which is really freaking fun and really cool, especially because I enjoy doing everybody I've ever worked with. I do their nutrition and training. So therefore, you can kind of play with all the elements every single week, depending on what's best for them. And you can really fine tune the results all the way into the show. So I don't do any kind of pre-written programming that, you know, everybody just follows these same steps. Everybody's an individual person. Everybody has their own, like, strengths and weaknesses. So we write everything specific for that person, and I'll rewrite things every single week if that's what needed. Then, can it take longer than that to see results? Absolutely. Unfortunately, if you do have higher body fat percentage, and if your technique in exercises is poor, you're not going to get very good results because you're not getting isolative stimulus. You're getting a lot of things involved that shouldn't be involved. Therefore, the one thing that we do want to have change doesn't get the bulk of the stress. So, for example, if I don't know how to do a chest fly correctly, I'm going to over-involve my biceps, maybe my front shoulders, maybe even my triceps. So, if I was doing it correctly, 100% of the result would go right into my chest. But if I don't know how to do the form correctly, I might only get 70% of the results because I am over-involving other things. So if you want help with technique to make sure that you're getting the most for what you're doing, we have a free service through Instagram. Just post any video of any exercise you want reviewed. Include the hashtag BigFormCheck, 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 and I'll review it for free. So if you feel like, man, I feel like I'm working my butt off, but I'm not really getting results, I wonder if my technique is one of my problems. We'll post a video on Instagram, include Big Form Check, and I'll let you know for free. Pretty awesome. So what we look for is 8 to 12 weeks. So if I was writing a program for somebody and I said, I want to make sure that this works. In general, in 8 to 12 weeks, we should be able to see some difference. Now, how do we see the difference? Some people can take measurements, some people take photos, and some people do what's called a DEXA scan. We're going to go through all this. Can you do other things? Yes, but I don't think they're very useful compared to these three. if you're doing anything other than these three, it's not very useful. So for example, like a bioelectrical impedance device is one of the ways people will measure like body fat percentage, and those are wildly inaccurate, so they're not even really worth doing. You can do skinfold measurements, but you have to do 1,000 tests before you become proficient at skinfold measurements, and then even proficient people have a plus or minus 3% reading standard of error. So if they read you at 15, you could actually be anywhere between 12 to 18. It would still be considered a pretty accurate testing, which 12 to 18 is a huge window when you're doing aesthetic-based progress. So I actually used to teach at the university exercise physiology classes. I taught how to do skinfold measurements. I've done over 1,000 myself. And I will even tell you that I think they're a waste of time. I don't even own skinfold calipers, and I don't do that with my clients because I don't think it's accurate enough to be worth doing. So there's some background information, but measurements, photos, and actual scans like body composition scans, whether tests like BODPOD, which is kind of an air displacement testing, but DEXA scan is one that people can have more access to. So for example, I live in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and Charlotte is only about 20 minutes. Charlotte, North Carolina is only about 20 minutes up the road, and you can go get a DEXA scan done for $50. Which is awesome. So what a DEXA scan is it's basically you lay on a table, this kind of big arm thing scans over your body, and it tells you kind of your body fat percentage, your muscle mass, like where's the most muscle you have. You know, you might be dominant in your left thigh, but weak, like smaller in your right thigh. So it can help you learn how to better balance yourself. So maybe you have to bust into more unilateral movements to balance out the musculature. It can tell you whether you're top heavy, bottom heavy. There's a lot of benefits to what a DEXA scan is, and it has the highest quality of standard of error, so it's going to be the least inaccurate, if that makes sense. And it's often pretty just a pretty awesome amount of information. So a lot of the clients I have that we do aesthetic competitions, they'll do DEXA scans, and then we take 3 to 6 months to try to make some awesome progress before we rescan. And it's just a cool way to get the most accurate reading of change. So that's a lot of fun. And not only, like I said, can you see growth in like maybe weight. So maybe in 6 months, somebody's gained 30 pounds. It's nice to see where those 30 pounds went. Did they go to the upper body, lower body? Did they go to the left side, the right side? You know, you can tell a lot more from DEXA scans. So that's the most accurate thing that if you have access to, I think that's probably your best bet. Photos are going to be awesome. However, you have to understand how to analyze photos, and it's very hard to analyze photos of yourself. Even I have to kind of put my trainer hat on when I look at photos of myself and make sure I'm not emotionally connected. And this is very, very hard because like I started lifting weights when I was 165 pounds and fatter than I am now at 285. So if I look at photos of me at 285, I feel like I'm fat and skinny. But I do remember what I looked like at 165. I was fatter and skinnier. So trying to be non-biased, trying to get rid of those kind of feelings where we know what we want to work on, we have our insecurities, trying to be blind to those while you analyze yourself is challenging, but it can be done. But photos are going to be kind of your best bet. And then people will often take measurements. The very challenging part for measurements is if you have any degree of body fat that you are needing to bring down. So say you're at 20% body fat and your ideal physique is at 12% body fat. Well, as you're losing body fat and as you're building muscle, your size might not change. So if I add a quarter inch of muscle, but I lose a quarter inch of fat, my measurement makes no difference, but I have had enormous difference in aesthetics. So I would be able to have seen that change in a photo, but I will not have been able to measure that change with like circumference measurements. So if you measure the size of your arm and say your arm is 16 inches and you're like, man, I want to get to 17 inches, but you're also eating clean while you're training, you're losing some fat off the arm, you're trying to build some muscle on the arm. So you have a little bit of pros, like a little bit of something adding weight, adding size, a little bit of something taking off size. So if you're doing measurements alone, you can look and say like, man, it doesn't look like I've made any progress. But if you do measurements plus photos plus body weight, you can kind of get more and more details to put it all together. So what I typically have clients do is send photos every month and send their body weight either every week or bi-weekly. So I might have them send their body weight on a Monday and a Thursday, and then I'll have them send that to me every other week. And then they send photos maybe every other every month on that Thursday that they'll do the measurements. And the reason why we do like bi-weekly measurements is body weight changes in regards to water retention. And when we change our routine or we change our foods, our water retention can change. And you can, you know, plus or minus a good 2 or 3 pounds based on water retention very easily based on like weekend habits. So if somebody misses a bunch of meals, they're going to be a little bit lighter in weight, or they might be high in weight depending on how they kind of replenish that food. But body weight can change quite a bit based on a change in activity. We typically have our most consistent behavior Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So therefore, if we get measurements on Thursdays mornings, that's going to be kind of like the best bet of the we had pretty consistent days leading into that. If you get measurements on Monday, it lets you see what drastic differences you might be making over the weekend. So in an ideal world, the Monday and Thursday wouldn't be much different. But what you might see is if somebody does like lazy habits or they get way off track on the weekend, they come in Monday and their body weight is way high. By Thursday, they're down 3 pounds. And that seems to be a repeated thing every single time you measure, is Mondays are always higher than Thursdays. Then you need to double check on what you're doing on the weekends to make sure that you're not going so far off track that you're setting yourself back. So in general, that's what we have clients do, is send photos every month, and we tell we look at the scale either every week or bi-weekly on a 2 times a week basis. So that's what you should do. So if you want to make progress in size, you should expect to put in 8 to 12 weeks of work before you can even see the change. How will you see the change is by measuring with photos. That's going to be your best bet. If you have access to a DEXA scan, I would not do a DEXA scan every month, but you could do a DEXA scan every 12 weeks. That would be a pretty good, the soonest I would do it. You could push that out, though, to every, like, 24 weeks would probably be an even better use of your time and money. And then you just kind of, like, analyze every month based on how you're looking with the photos. And like we said, the DEXA scan can be done every 3 to 6 months, something like that. So hopefully that was helpful. So if you're doing a program for size and you put in, you know, 2 weeks and you're like, why am I not any bigger? Calm down. Takes more than 2 weeks, okay? But if you've been doing a program for 16, 20, 24 weeks and you don't notice a difference in your photos, if people aren't commenting, you know, like, oh, wow, you're looking bigger, or wow, you're looking leaner. If you don't have something coming in results-wise, then you definitely need to double-check what you're doing and see if you need to maybe make some changes. Okay? Now, if we go to strength, this is going to be kind of all over the map because there's 3 main things we would look at when we want to progress in strength. It can be technique, physical strength, and mental strength. So technique strength is just how well can you perform an exercise. You can learn to improve your technique in a single one-hour session with a client. So I've had clients come in and, you know, they've doubled their one rep max just in a single workout by learning how to be more efficient in their movement. But if you look at physical adaptations to strength, that can take a long time. That can take 12 weeks, sometimes even longer. And then mental strength can be all over the map. It can be something where somebody learns something and applies it within a week and starting to feel difference, or it could be something where people struggle for 6 freaking months to try to get over like a mental hurdle of like a significant weight load or something like that, or trying to get back like post-injury feeling comfortable to max effort their lifts again if that was the last time they got injured. So this one could be all over the place, but I'm gonna like give the range of 4 to 12 weeks. The reason why is technique can be improved in 4 weeks to be able to see a difference in strength. That can be done in 4 weeks for sure. So if I've squatted, say, 250 and it kind of felt like I was dying, I got technique review. Somebody helped me kind of with advice. I looked up some things. I practiced it for 4 weeks and all of a sudden I go back to 250 and it looks much cleaner. It actually looks like it was something I could show off and people be impressed by the quality of it. That can easily happen in 4 weeks. And again, don't forget we have that big form check. So if you record a lift, throw it up on Instagram and include the hashtag big form check, and I'll give you technique tips for free. Okay? And that can help you get faster, get better faster. Now, mental can be the same thing. Is somebody says something right to you, it makes sense, it gives you the confidence, and you practice it for a month, and all of a sudden you can see the difference. You can see how you might accept the weight load more. So, for example, in squats, if somebody's a low bar squatter, they have to accept the bracing component of lower back stimulus. And if they can do that better mentally, all of a sudden they trust their form better. All of a sudden the bar path looks correct, and they hit a lift either for an extra rep or it just looks cleaner itself. And that can easily be achieved in a month. However, let's say that for me to get better at my bench press, I needed to make my chest stronger. We found that there isn't a lot of chest size, not a lot of chest stimulation, and the person hadn't been previously training their chest well. So, for example, a female bench presser. Females sometimes do not train their chest enough because they think because they're females they don't need to train their chest, when absolutely, definitely they do. So if they haven't previously been training their chest a lot, we might add in some chest work into their program, and we take the first month to kind of push into the chest, kind of start to get it worked, get it sore. You take the next month to really beat the hell out of it. Then you take the third month to let it recover some. And then all of a sudden you test some things at the 12th week, and all of a sudden their one rep max shoots up 10, 15 pounds. I've seen that happen a billion times. So that's something that could take longer, like we said, the 12-week mark. So physical adaptations might take longer. Likely take longer than technical and mental changes. So that's why we have that range of all the way from 4 to 12 weeks. How you want to measure this is basically, like for technique and mental, is just repeated concepts with visual and or feeling improvements. So for example, if I want to get better at my technique of squats, I have to squat. If I want to get better at my mindset to handle heavy squats, I have to squat heavy things. So you have to repeat what it is and just kind of get better and better and better at it, and you'll see improvements in technique, or you'll feel more confident with the lift. If you want a physical change, how you measure progress is you beat the hell out of that thing you want to get better at, whether it's through a main lift or an isolative accessory, and I would absolutely recommend an isolated accessory, and then you apply it back to the main lift. So how you measure progress is going to be, okay, if I want the chest, well, actually, here, let's go for an example. There's a sumo deadlifter. Sometimes you'll see if somebody's new to sumo and or they're starting to get heavier weight loads than they've ever gone before, so they're kind of in a new area of strength, you'll see when they go to come off the floor that it's a very slow start. They have a little bit of a left-right hip shift, and it's kind of like grindy off the floor, and then all of a sudden they fly through their lockout. That can be a sign of weight acceptance weakness within the hip structure. So meaning you have to strengthen kind of the musculature of the hip socket and get the body used to absorbing weight load in a more aggressive and faster manner. So what we might do is we see that happen in a one rep test or maybe a five rep max. It just looks like they're, lifting so slow and everything's shifty and it's just kind of like really uncertain. It doesn't have a confidence to it. So we might take their deadlift and break it down into maybe doing a program where they do some sumo stance stiff-legged deadlifts with a barbell. They might do some deficit sumos. Maybe they stand on like 3/4 inch, 1 inch mat and have to force them to drop down deeper into the hip stretch. And then we might have them also do some lateral bounds, lateral jumps. So side to side, single leg jumps, like almost like a skier, but they're jumping left, right, left, right, left, right. And that's a lot of absorption of body weight into the hip socket. So we might do that for 4 weeks. So let's say we do that for 4 weeks, we progress a little bit in weight load as we go down in reps. Then all of a sudden the next 4 weeks we pick, variation of barbell, sumo stance, stiff leg deadlifts. Maybe we do it from an elevation this time to have an even higher weight load. Maybe from the deficit sumos, we instead switch over to an elevated sumo to again do a heavier weight load. Maybe the lateral jumps, instead of a side to side just body weight jump, maybe we have them do a band resisted eccentric loaded landing, and that can help increase the weight load of the landing component, which increases the weight load of the hip acceptance. So if you notice in the second program, the second month, we might kind of overload all of these concepts. Then in the third month, we might pull back on the variations, go back to the regular sumo, but have them do eggshell deadlift, like which we also call touch and go. Maybe do that for some higher volume, just get back into like specific positional practice, and then test the max at the end of that. And that would be a sequence that you would see over 12 weeks that absolutely would improve that weakness. And if you notice, we went into variations of helpful lifts rather than just repeating the sumo deadlift over and over and over. Now, I've seen that help with somebody progress and get a big PR jump in 12 weeks. Easy, big PR jump in 12 weeks. And that's been some fun stuff to kind of mess with different ways to do that. So, strength increases. You should see some strength increase within 4 to 12 weeks if you're hyper-focusing on something specifically. If it's really prolonged and in 12 weeks you're not really seeing much, you might be repeating your stimulus too much. So we're going to talk here at the end about a general answer. So we're talking about size, strength, and endurance. And then just in general, we're going to talk about the fact that the body only adapts. It only makes changes when it feels adaptations are necessary. So if you're repeating a stimulus over and over, you're just squatting 5x5, 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 that will not progress you. Very quickly, the body becomes very accustomed to the same stimulus over and over again. So that's going to be very important when it comes to strength training, because you're trying to get the nervous system to respond to a stimulus. Well, if that stimulus feels too comfortable, the body doesn't feel like it has to respond. So that's going to be something very important to look at. Now, the third category here, let's look at endurance. Endurance, you can make progress in 4 to 12 weeks. Absolutely. It depends on kind of what you're trying to make progress on and how far along you are. So I've worked with Olympic level like runners who run 4-minute miles, like under 4-minute miles, and it's going to be very challenging for them to improve. We're going to be looking at everything. So running mechanics, recovery methods, nutrition. You're going to look at everything under the sun. If somebody's really close to their genetical best, it's going to be very hard to make progress. But if somebody's brand new, you know, to running, they can make progress within like 2 or 3 weeks. So it's really fast, really easy. So it kind of depends on where you're at within the spectrum. How do you measure progress is basically just your time performance on a repeated stimulus. So if you run a mile over and over again, are you getting faster? Or an RPE scale, which is rate of perceived exertion, which is just how hard does it feel? So if I run, you know, an 8-minute mile, did I have to like lay on the ground and die for 10 minutes after that? And maybe by the 10th time I do it, you know, I'm fine. I go out later that day and, you know, garden and kind of do some fun things and don't even feel like destroyed by it. So you can improve by time or you can improve by how it feels. There's a lot of other components and a lot of other nuances, but these are two just really good general ones for us to have in mind. And an example of kind of how we would improve on this is, let's say somebody wanted to get better at a mile and a half. So they're doing like military testing or like police service or something like that, kind of testing. They just do a mile and a half run. So they'll go out and run a mile and a half and say, okay, this was my time. How do I get better? So we might do some sprint intervals, high intensity sprint intervals at like 3/4 of a mile. Then we might just do some medium intensity sprint intervals at 1 1/4. And then we go for a long, slow, low intensity, just kind of going for a long 2-mile run. We cycle through those three variations, one each a week. We do that for 4 weeks, and then we retest their 1.5 mile, and all of a sudden, boom, it's better. So you can usually get somebody better in 4 to 12 weeks. Again, it kind of depends on their progressive level. So I've helped people with like Ironmans, and I helped a client who did 100-mile marathons, which was insane. Good for them, but that's psychopathic. They can take longer to progress just because they're more advanced athletes. And that's going to be true in all of these categories for size, strength, and endurance. The further along in your training you get, the more from beginner to intermediate, the more from intermediate to advanced, it can take longer to make progress. So I help people, like, for example, strength athletes who are elite powerlifters, and it might take us, you know, 4 to 6 months to make a 10 to 15 pound jump on a lift, because they are so close to their genetical best, and also just the variance of life in general. So maybe somebody's preparing for a life event, maybe they're preparing for a wedding, and that's going to cause a lot of kind of, you know, shifts on our norm. So if they're trying to get best in their lifting, it requires that they're best in regards to scheduling, their nutrition, their training, their recovery. So if anything gets in the way of that, sometimes it can slow down your progress, and that's just because life's in the way. So in general, if we look at how long should we look for results, how long should we expect results? For most people, whatever you're doing, within 12 weeks, you should be able to see that what you're doing is making a difference. So if you've been doing something for 12 weeks, 3 months, and you cannot just blatantly, obviously tell me what you've gotten better at, you absolutely need to take a look at what you're doing and see if it's time to tweak your program and make some changes. Like I said, I've helped people in size, strength, and endurance make progress in 2 to 4 weeks. It can be done very quickly, but that's with me controlling their training, their nutrition, their supplements, their recovery. So if you have a high degree of knowledge behind what you're doing and multifaceted approach, not just the training, you can make much faster progress, very extreme, very awesome, fun progress. But, you know, if you're doing this on your own and you have a lower level of experiential knowledge and content knowledge, it can take a little longer. But in general, everybody should be able to make progress within 12 weeks. Remember that what we're looking when we're trying to measure size, strength, and endurance is we're measuring the body's adaptation. We provided a stimulus of change. We want to then measure how well the body is changing to that stimulus. Recognize that the body only changes when it feels that the changes are necessary, meaning that the stimulus we're applying is either high enough in intensity or high enough in frequency that the body feels it must adjust to it. So one of the things you can ask yourself is what I'm doing, does it feel like it's challenging my body? Does it feel like it's a new challenge every week or every couple weeks? Or does this feel like the same old challenge that it's been for weeks and months? So for our clients, my in-person clients, my online clients, and our monthly programming that we do for people, which is just, you know, here's a program for male strength development or female strength development, and run with this and have fun with it. So we do 4 weeks, and then we kind of like we progress the same exercises for 4 weeks, and then we tweak it. Now, this is very different for my competition clients. So if I have somebody get ready for like a competition, whether it's strength competition, whether it's an aesthetic competition, we make changes however needed, like whether they're weekly basis or a couple days basis. We communicate frequent enough that we change it whenever the hell we need to. But in general, our most common approach is we select exercises, we select workouts, and we try to progress for 4 weeks. The first week is pretty much learning how to do each of the movements. The second week is becoming comfortable in each movement and confident. Like, you know, okay, now I do know what I'm doing here. The third and fourth week then are to really push the adaptation stimulus. So those are the hardest, most aggressive weeks, is third and fourth. Then we come back and we change everything for the next month. They again go through the first week of trying to learn everything, figure it out. That also serves as our deload week, where we allow the body to kind of recover from the third and fourth week of the previous cycle. So we just repeat that 4 week cycle over and over, and every month we change what we're doing. So we either push certain concepts harder, like we talked about the example of the female bench presser, that if we're doing chest isolative training, the first month we're just getting them familiar with it. The second month then we push heavier weight loads. And we talked about that with the example of the hip person, the sumo deadlifter, wanting to kind of progress their hip strength, their hip weight acceptance ability. So again, we kind of get them comfortable the first month, we push even harder the second month. However, some concepts we might need to pull back. So if we have somebody who is wanting to, like I do corrective exercise therapy, and maybe somebody comes in with some hip pain. Well, if they've just been hammering heavy squats and their squats look like shit and their hips hurt, we probably have to pull back on the squat volume and intensity to let their body recover from the stress that they've been beating the shit out of it. And then over time, we improve back up. So sometimes you push harder, sometimes you pull back, sometimes you might need a new approach. You know, somebody might be doing a lot of bench pressing, maybe their elbows are bugging them, their shoulders are bugging them, and you say, hey, you know what, let's pull away from the barbell for a little bit, let's get you at an incline, let's do some dumbbells, let's give the body some new angles, let it open up some stiffnesses, and then all of a sudden, like, the joint pain goes away. So sometimes you need a new approach. But that's essentially what we're going to look for. That was a lot of information. But if we go back to the initial question, how long does it typically take to see measurable progress in size, strength, and endurance? Depending on your current like state. Are you an advanced athlete, intermediate athlete, or beginner athlete? And depending on your knowledge of programming, including training and nutrition and supplements and recovery. So if you have somebody helping you, and or you're an advanced knowledge yourself, and you're variation of where you're at as an athlete, you can see results within 2 to 4 weeks. But it might also take up to 12 weeks. So if you've done something for 1 week and it doesn't feel like it's working yet, be more patient than that. If you've done something for longer than 12 weeks and you can't specifically say, yes, I've made progress in this way, then you definitely need to make some changes. So roughly, I would say 4 to 12 weeks for most goals, you should be able to see something changing, something happening. Okay? So how long should I stick with the program before I know whether or not it's working? And that's going to be that same kind of answer, 4 to 12 weeks. If you think about changing a program and say, okay, I want to change, what do I change to? I would highly recommend, in the culture that we have today, access to educated people is the easiest it's ever been in the history of our lives. So when I first started doing this stuff, when I was 15, 16 years old, my access was once a month I got a magazine from a Walmart. That was it. There wasn't internet. Yeah, I could ask a couple people at my local gym, but I didn't know if they actually knew what the hell they were talking about. I didn't know anything about them. And I lived in the middle of nowhere, so I actually didn't have a local gym. I trained at home. So there was no internet. I trained at home. I had a couple buddies at school that I could ask some things to. There really wasn't a lot of access. But in today's culture, we almost have ridiculous amount of access, almost too much access. So take advantage of it. If making progress is ultimately important to you, you'll be willing to invest time, money, and energy. Reach out. It doesn't even have to be to me. Like, I don't want this to sound like a commercial. You don't have to pay me a dime. You don't even have to ask me, okay? But reach out to someone that you believe is a good coach, a knowledgeable coach, and say, this is what I've been doing. This is the struggles I've had. Would you mind giving me some advice? Chances are most decent coaches are going to give you some kind of useful tidbit of information that you can use to progress with. If you pay them, they're going to give you more specifics, of course. And like, for example, myself, I don't do contracts in any way whatsoever. So somebody can pay me for a month and then they can keep going on their own. But you don't have to pay, but that's absolutely going to be worth it. If it's important to me, like if I want to make progress in my training, I've paid people for their advice. I've taken the time to email people. I mean, why would we not? Why would I not invest into book resources? Why would I not watch every damn YouTube video available to me? I've gone to seminars, clinics. I mean, come on. If this is truly important to you, you'll invest some extra into it, whether that's time, energy, or money, okay? But that's what I'd recommend. If you feel like it's time to make changes, reach out, get some advice. We offer free advice all the time in our podcast. I offer the free technique reviews. You just post a video on Instagram, include the hashtag BigFormCheck. We offer free Q&A through the podcast. So just send me what you're doing and tell me it's not working, and then I'll make a podcast to fix it. We've offered recently in the last 2 weeks free nutrition reviews. We had a couple people take us up on it, but not enough. I'm offering right now free training reviews. If you're struggling in training, send me what you're doing, send me what your struggles are, and I'll make a podcast to analyze it so we can get a real-world specific example of this, okay? The access to information is there. If you truly want to become better, it is your choice. You simply have to make the decision or not. Okay. Now, thank you for listening to this podcast. It was a really long one. Almost at 40 minutes, but I hope it was a lot of helpful information. If there's anything you need, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I promise I will help. Promise, promise, promise. Okay? So thank you for investing into us. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I'll make sure I, in turn, invest into you. If you like today's podcast, please click like. If you think it's worth sharing, please share the podcast. If it's been helpful to you, then it'll be helpful to others as well. And then if you like information that we present in the podcast, like I said, check out our Instagram channel. We also have Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Now, if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's anything you ever need, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.